When we got together, we asked ourselves, what do we want to know about how to live together with a group of people this large in a way, in a daily way, in a way that will be harmonious? We asked ourselves several different kinds of questions about that, and we pulled them together and came up with six general areas of interest about living in community and how to get along. Then we decided, how are we going to help the community talk about this? And we came up with kind of a twofold solution. One was to get together people who have already lived through the winter. That was a phrase we used a lot in our group. A group of people who've lived through the winter at Holden, who could maybe reflect on some of these areas out loud for the rest of us and begin to give all of us some food for thought, and maybe even spur some new thinking about how to live in community and or new needs that we might have that we as a group could go back and try to pull something together around. So hence we have some people up here who have our experienced Holden livers. And they have agreed to talk about some of these areas, all of them saying, I don't really know that much about it, and I have something very simple to say, and I only have a few things to say, and I have a sense that there may be a secret in all of that that says something already, that it may be more simple than we think. Anyway, we're grateful to those of you, Dan, Corinne, Linda, Tosh, Linda, and Mick, who will start out, and what I'd like to do tonight is have them speak a little bit to some of these areas of concern to just get the rest of us thinking. And then I would like all of us to begin to start to share either what thoughts we have as a result of what they've said or questions that we might have of them. Many of us have lived in community in other places, and I think we have things to share about that. And all of us have lived in one group or another in our lives and have learned skills and have suggestions for how we might make our life at Holden harmonious. So these people are not to be experts up here, but we all have things to share. Let me just go over the six areas real quickly that we as a group came up with. I kind of put these together in a real shortened version there on the board for all of us to look at if we want to refer to them. But the first one is, how do we express differences of opinion with each other about things about community life, such as policy or who does what or who's responsible for what or something? What if we disagree about that? How do we talk about that with each other? And the second thing we came up with was, how do we express differences of opinion on things that are more personal values, like what if we differ about politics or what if we differ about positions of faith? How do we talk about that with each other? The third thing we came up with was, what helps make community decisions? How can we build consensus? We have a consensus model in our community meetings. Well, what makes that work? And what makes it work best? What have these people learned about that? What's the balance of authority and responsibility and leadership if you have a model of consensus? Okay, I know we could talk a lot about all of these, but these are what we wanted the people to think about. Fourth thing is, what if we have a conflict between ourselves and somebody else? You know, what if we have a personality clash or somewhere we just don't get along? What do we do about that in a communal situation? Fifth thing is, how do we handle anger at coworkers or people we live with or with guests who come? And also, kind of related to that, how do we handle that in high pressure situations where we might be working very hard and having to move very fast and we're feeling some tension build up? How do we handle that? And the sixth thing is, what ways are there in community to get along? What's sort of the collective wisdom we have about that? And what structures in Holden already exist that we could make maximum use of? And also, are there personal ways that we have found that help us live well corporately. So, that's a lot to talk about. Anyway, what I would like to do is just begin by having those of you who've been here a while say whatever you want in relation to that list, and then when you're done, we'll all respond. So, is anybody ready? Well, let's see. Okay, Linda. Why don't you start?
Good choice.
Okay, well, I've jotted down just a few things. I guess just some awareness things, I guess. You know, I was one who I have a tendency to avoid head-on conflicts, you know, and I have always felt myself real good at dodging problems. And yet, I found that I wasn't totally exempt, that I, you know, that this is a close, intense community in the winter, and people had told me that, and I didn't realize that yeah, it can get to be difficult at times. And you think too that because we're all Christians, we won't have that problem. And I guess I would just say that does not make us immune at all. That there probably will be some conflicts. We all have different backgrounds, different work styles. You know, I think that's something that we need to be aware of, that for some people work better a certain way or at a certain hour of the day. Others might work better at other times. Sometimes that can get to be a source of conflict or source of strain, but we just really need to be aware of each other's differences, and that's okay, that we have different peaks and valleys. People need to be very, I think, very self-disciplined as far as to be aware of the community and be aware of if you're causing problems. You know, I think that comes back to just a personal, you know, keeping yourself in check to make sure that you aren't causing someone else to be having some real problems. It is hard to avoid people here in the winter. I think that's something when, like in my own personal, when in the other world, if there's somebody you really don't get along with, you simply don't invite them over for supper. You just don't. And you don't find yourself eating with them, worshiping with them, working with them constantly like you do here. I don't have any good suggestions other than it. You can't get out of it, and that you have to face it, and maybe that's not so bad.
Guess that about wraps it up, huh?
Hmm? Anybody have a burning question or need clarification about anything she said? Tosh?
I approached this kind of didactically, I guess. Jotted down a few things about just about everything on here. The first two considerations, you know, differences of opinion about policy or our general life together as a community, and how to express differences that way, I tend to approach as the same way I would express differences with another person. You know, the forum model that we have here is really helpful to me that way. Instead of saying, well, this is the way things are, or this is right, or this is the right way to do it, it's been real good for me to start out those kinds of statements by saying, I think it's good to do this, or I feel that this is the right way to do it, or because that keeps it on a human level. Another word that I've put into my vocabulary since coming here for the first time in 82 is the word helpful. It's helpful for me to do it this way. No. Doing it this way may be helpful to us. It's not to say this is the right answer. This is one thing that we might be able to do that might prove beneficial to us for a period of time. Talking about reaching consensus or making community decisions, a key for me has been to be flexible. We're not, it doesn't seem that we're making decisions forever. We're not chiseling anything in stone. We're not saying, again, this is the right way. This is it. This is the only way we should do this. If there's a real strong difference, well, maybe let's try this for a while, and then we'll try that for a while, and talk about it, and see what works, you know, what we feel more comfortable with. And try and work things out in a sort of process way, instead of sitting down and saying, okay, we're going to make a decision about this right now, and it's going to bind us for the rest of our lives. It takes the pressure off that way. Also about consensus, it's been good for me to remember that what may be my values and my perceptions and my way of doing things may not be the perceptions and values and ways of doing things of the village at large. And it's okay for those to be different. If the village decision is something that I'm not extremely uncomfortable with, if it's something I can work with, it's okay if it's different than what I would do if I was living by myself or living with four or five other people. Talking about conflict with people in community and anger, those seem to fall pretty well together for me. As a result of some primal therapy that I've been getting more and more into, it's been important for me to step back and say, is it really this situation that's causing this much anger? Is it really this situation at hand that's causing me this much conflict? If it is, then I have someplace to start from. Chances are, for me, that it's not, that I'm responding to some other stimuli or some other situation, or, you know, as short as my lifetime is at this point, that long a period of time of responding to this situation in this way. And it's been real helpful for me to try and sort out, is this, you know, is the conflict arising immediately out of this situation, or am I responding to something inappropriately? In high pressure situations, dealing with a working environment or with guests or whatever, whenever possible, it's been helpful for me to try and take a little time, if not right at the moment, to say, I'm having trouble with this, let's get it done if we have to get it done in the next 2 minutes, and let's talk about this at some time that we can get together and talk about it. Communication in community seems to be really important to me, to be open, to be non-threatening as possible. Just to take time and try and sort things out. Like Linda said, you can't avoid people here very well at all. There's always that chance when you go in for lunch that they might be at your table. So it doesn't work real well. Or the passing of the peace, they might be sitting behind you and you turn around ready to give someone a hug and there they are. It's not a real comfortable situation. So communication seems really important to me that way. Ways to promote getting along, Holden structures, I think the most important of those for me is solitude. I really cherish my solitude because it's a chance for me to kind of regroup, bring something new back to the community, a chance to sift things out for myself, you know, talking about anger or confrontation or problems that I'm having with the village at large. Time by myself gives me a real good chance to sort that out, figure out how I really feel about it, and think about ways of possibly dealing with it.
Does this make sense to those of you that are out there listening to these people? Does it make sense to have them talk about anything on those questions? Or I just had this thought, does it make sense to have everybody talk about one question and hear everybody's point of view, and then talk about a second question and hear everybody's point of view? We doing okay, or? Okay. All right. I have a method to this, Corinne.
I was afraid of that.
Is this a comedy show?
Well, different personalities here, and of course everybody is bringing to the community a different personality. And you know, if we could each sit up here and say, well, you know, and everybody tell a bit about themselves and so forth. I am one of your basic Garrison Keillor shy persons, and as other people have said, avoid confrontation at all costs. And I've always thought probably the tracks up my back are very visible because I will, you know, turn quickly and just retreat. And realize that's really not the way, you know, yeah, stand and count to 10 and try to calm down and so forth. I have recently in community been able to go to the person and talk to them privately and then kind of give the situation to them and they can react as they will. Sometimes that turns out in a positive manner, sometimes not. But at least I try to come to some reconciliation with the person. Time can heal wounds, but I do think that, you know, an effort needs to be made, and that's difficult for everyone. I have found myself just recently in community giving someone an immediate answer and watching the face fall, but then coming back and saying, now wait, let's think about this. You know, let's try some other solutions. And I think, too, we need to do that. For the calligraphers in the crowd, here are a few sayings. You can get your pens poised. Don't take yourself too seriously because nobody else does. And be a duck. In some instances, you have to let certain things sort of slide off, you know. And you have to think, what is this person bringing to the situation? What caused this? You know, am I really the cause, or was there some other baggage being carried along? What motivates the other person? I think a very excellent way to handle frustrations and that sort of thing would be to do as we did this evening, after the meal, to scream and laugh and clap and cheer and gasp and, you know, maybe that would help a little. Again, the idea of solitude, getting away. I have an enormous capacity for quiet. That's very important to me, and that helps me a lot. Things like celebrations or corporate confession. I found the service of corporate confession to be just the thing in community, and it's needed often. And perhaps we ought to plan to use that service more. Maybe what we need is, if you heard Tom Christensen this summer, a sorry person or a sorry tree, which is sort of a method of reconciliation, a simple method. I can't really go into that. You probably have to listen to some of his tapes. It's fantastic. And I think we all have to remember, and I'm an idea person. I was talking to Karen about that. A lot of times in community, you're going to find that your ideas are not going to be accepted or are not going to be the best, even though you know they are. And you've got to be able to accept that. But I think, too, the community has to understand that those ideas need to be heard. Somehow they need to be expressed on paper, verbally, whatever. I think that's important. And that may waste a lot of time, but sometimes we need to, you know, need to do that. Dan suggested something once along the way, and that was to have like a hopes and dreams day, or spend some time really talking about the village and talking about community problems, dreams, hopes, dreams. I guess that's it.
Thanks. Linda? I didn't really think of a lot of things to say.
because it's such a general subject, and community means so many different things to, you know, everybody. But I guess I agree with a lot of what everyone else has said so far as balancing time and how, you know, peace within yourself can mean, you know, that you can be peaceful in a community or in the world or whatever, so alone time and all those sorts of things are good. One other thing besides the things that people have talked about that I found is that conflict is sort of unavoidable because we are different, and I think in a community that comes up maybe, you know, more visibly, and to work within that and realize that we are different and just, you know, I'm not going to be best friends with every single person in the community or, you know, whatever, even in my family for that matter. I'm not really best friends with everyone in my family, so why should I be here? But to respect other people and be open to them and listen to them and, you know, basically to respect and be open to them. That's, yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Dan?
One thing came tonight when Audrey was telling, and you were telling your story.
Excuse me, let me just check. Can you all hear?
Not very well.
Not real well? Can you speak louder, please?
Audrey was telling her story. I just thought, I wish we could now move into the whole evening and all tell our stories, mm-hmm. or spend a week. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, just that little helped me so much, just enter into, I mean, we'd have some differences. Audrey likes a very simple worship. I like to dress up in robes and prance around altars. just sharing stories, and you just wouldn't be dealing with subjects, but where we are and what our journey has been. The next one is hard for me because I wasn't raised as old. But if I were in a community that had a specific discipline, one of them would be that if somebody else has done something to hurt me, I go to them, and not you know. Then you can live freely every day and know if I mess up with somebody, they're going to come to me. I was raised the opposite, where I had my antennas out to figure out who I can go and apologize to. You know, and then about 90% of them say, well, that, you know, it was okay anyway, it was a waste of time. I would like to think a community is where if I make it through the end of the day and nobody's talked to me, I haven't cooped. Because then we're free then to be ourselves and not always saying, oh, I have to be so careful now. I think it's a way of trust. Another thing that's gotten better over the years at Holden, but we need to constantly check that, is the caste system. This, in the early days of Holden, I think much more than now, there was a hierarchy of privilege. I know John Schramm did many things to change that, getting teaching staff on dishes. When Karen and I came here, there were still certain people that had privileges with dishes for no other reason than they'd been here. And gradually, as they left, those privileges, and this is a matter of justice, it really is, and I think we need to keep checking that. And I'm sensitive even to our living arrangements. You know, Karen and I have a nice apartment in the hospital. We're not in Lodge 6. You know, there's sometimes that sense of how can we do anything we possibly can to not have a caste system and feel a unity of the whole community, which I think I'd like to get invited sometimes to Lodge 6, you know, for a party or something.
Or a bear crucifixion.
Or a barrel, you know.
How about this grave? What if I did you to the grave? But did you come?
Say, now she came to me. it's already been mentioned about differences, you know, and I've said that in story, but I think the final is, I think ritual has a powerful way to build community and build trust. whether it's a ritual, a corporate confession, part of that service is to have a time of just sharing where we failed each other as a community, and then I'll pray about it. The Eucharist is so hard, like we've already said, to share bread and wine and hug when there are problems. And at 1 year at Holden, when I had one person that I could never be reconciled to, it was very painful. There was no way I was going to be vulnerable enough to even. And it was probably my most painful experience here at Holden. I may even look back and don't even know how I should have done it, but it is true, you cannot run from it. It was very, I don't have any solutions, and I'm thankful right now it's not happening. Unless I don't know about it. Come and tell me.
Thanks. Mick?
Was it tough to follow Dan earlier?
Privilege.
It's a privilege. I thought of about 15 things that I was going to say as I heard everyone speaking here, but I can't remember very many of them. One of them is I think it was very difficult for me to maintain a positive attitude about community. It's as I think has been brought out, it's extremely difficult to live with this many people so closely. And there are times when I feel like being alone, don't want to see anyone after work especially. It's really difficult for me because of so many years of coming home and after you've been with co-workers and people all day long. And here it's coming home from work, going to supper, community meeting, Vespers, and so on. And I think the main thing is to take time for yourself, and in my situation, for my family. It's very important to do that. And I guess maybe I'd feel differently if I were living here as a single. But to me, that's very important to keep that time for yourself. You know, solitude, even when there isn't a solitude day going on, and to get into some type of a routine where you do have that. I guess there was something else I was going to say, but I can't remember what it was right now. So maybe I'll think of it later.
Yeah.
I think it's all been said, so I think we can go home.
No. Only this part of the room has spoken so far. Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts. These are initial thoughts, and what I'd like to do now is invite the rest of us to react, respond, say whatever it is that we might have gotten prompted to think about as we've heard these people talk. Warren?
There's a couple things that comes to my mind. First, many years ago when Nita and I first got married, we let little things like me throwing my socks in the corner or hanging our nylons in the bathroom or squeezing the toothpaste. Instead of saying anything, you know, and discussing it, pretty quick after four or five things, it starts to be a big thing. So if you just have a little thing, it's so easy to settle it. But if you let two or three things get under your skin, it's not. You've got a grudge and you're out to do more harm than it. And secondly, it has to be, you have to accept the person as he is, or she is, a fellow person. Because when you come up here, you can't change. And you can't expect them to be the same as you are. Their abilities are different. Their thoughts are different. And you have to learn to accept the person as they are. And the last thing I think is that there's several ways to do everything. And sometimes it doesn't make any difference which way it gets burned. And it's so easy to back up and let the guy be the lead person this time, and the next time you be the lead person, without making an issue over some little thing that would get done his way as well as went your way. That's about it.
I guess we've been here a little over 4 months now, and I've really enjoyed community living, and I'm looking forward to it when we leave here. But a problem I have, and it's been a question ever since I've been here, is the one on policy. Now, I've been here that long, and I've never heard anything about what the policy is, although I've heard so many references to the policy. So what are the policies at Holden? I guess that's my question. What are the policies on food, on, you know, using the boat, on having friends? And I don't know any of those policies, and I've never seen them. That's my problem. So.
Did you like help with your problem?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd just like to kind of add on that. I see a caste system here, and I think it's one of the things that really impressed me here when I first came here in 83 was the fact that John Howard Yoder was doing scrubbing pots and pans, you know, with everybody else. But I think this relates to Greg, because if there aren't really specific policies stated, like for example, the issue where I think the caste system reflects itself, and that bothers me, is for the time off. People who are here less than 4 months, just, you know, your regular time off, people here over 4 months, get basically half a day every week. And that's a tremendous discrimination towards summer short-term people, you know. And yet that's never been clarified, so it kind of the people who are here a long time know about it, and the short-term people don't know about it, so not clarifying the policy seems to, I don't think it's intentional, but it seems to kind of subtly or just indirectly kind of give the people who are here longer certain advantages. And the short-term people don't know anything about it, except in this example, for example, oftentimes short-term people here who are here any time past the burnout stage, which is normally 5 or 6 weeks, start to build up resentment because they don't get time off. Mm-hmm. And another thing too, and Dan, is the housing. I just noticed some of the nice work that's being done in the chalets, and I look over Lodge 6 and Lodge 1, and gee, you know, they need a lot of work, but again, that. So I think there is elements of the caste that is gradually being corrected, but I think there should be more attention to that, and I think more clarification of policy would help that.
This is related to what he's been saying about, I've been here 10 weeks, and I'll be here another week, and so I'm supposedly past the burnout stage. I have had a comment related to caste and finding out about policy. I know that I've been here for 2 months, but I have a real problem trying to understand how anybody can come to Holden and get a grasp of what happens here in 3 or 5 weeks, because it's taken me this long to realize what policy is available to people, like he was talking about. It's that learning kind of the ground rules, who not to push too far, or, you know, it's the community. And I've been here through, I had 2 weeks of full-blown summer with family, weekend, and I've been here through September with the September crowd, as people say it, with the prunes on the buffet and everything. I'm going to be here through 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks of where we settle down in winter community. I'll be just leaving as things really settle down to 67 people. And so I think I've had a really good cross-section of the village. And I want to concur with you saying that sometimes it's very hard to understand how things work here, and it's taken me 2 months. And learning things about what subtle stratifications are here. I have been told by many people that it's much, things in the phrase hierarchy, caste, it's much better, and a lot of the barriers have been broken down, which I also concur with, because I've never felt any real, wow, Elmer is director, or, you know, P people, you know, Elmer is Elmer, and Karen happens to be the bookkeeper, you know, just because she happens to be part of the Holy Faith and Trust and she can write checks, it's no big deal. She does that, but she's Karen. You know, people like that would be normally associated with being a hierarchical people. That, I was not good with that at all, and I still don't feel that, even though I do think it's taken this long for me to realize what kind of things are available. Like, I didn't know the Holden boat existed until 2 weeks ago, and that people used it, and that's when somebody used it and went out on a non-boat day. It's kind of things that come slowly to people that are here in a short period of time.
Larry, can you hold your question for a minute? Can anybody speak directly to Greg's question about how does one become knowledgeable about Holden policy?
And is it a consensus, or who sets it? I guess I'm just really curious.
How does it get set, and how do you find out about it?
I don't know who sets it, and I don't know exactly what the policy is about everything. I don't know what policy is about most things. I've been here off and on for 2 years, and I've started to find out, you know, what kind of policies are, just kind of by being here and finding out what's going on. You know, is it okay to do this? You know, how come nobody does this? Just asking questions and kind of nosing around a little.
Yeah, I've tried that, but I get different answers.
Yeah, I got, I still get different answers.
I mean, I can live like that. It's just, it would help clarify things.
I'm sure either Roger or Elmer or both would be willing to, you know, answer questions.
Well, that's, it doesn't have to be answered tonight. I just thought I'd voice my...
I think part of the village that's a little difficult to live with is there's a lot that is nebulous, and that the village grows and changes. The community is always different. Every day, the community is different. And sometimes that's a little hard to live with.
Another factor, I think, is that we want to live under the gospel and not have a whole bunch of rules. Be free. Exercise your Christian judgment and lots of things.
One thing I appreciated about what Linda Martin said was that the need for a self-disciplined awareness of the fact that we are in community, and that I think that, you know, things are changing, and what are your expectations if you've come for 3 weeks or for a year, and you know, acknowledging that things are constantly in transit here, and that's a stressful thing. But maybe discerning between what really is important to know and what isn't. I mean, there's some things that a lot of things I don't know specifics on, but I don't feel like I really have to. And I think when you come and because Holden provides an opportunity to be a part of community and have ownership, that you also run some thin lines of feeling like you need to be, you know, in control of that all the time. And I think there's just some fine lines with that. So the awareness, I appreciated that.
Okay, can you wait one more? Yeah.
Why don't you say, I'm glad just to share what policies are established in China. Do not. Some are written, some are established by the board, some are administrative, like I decide because of my responsibility. Others are business, you know, their legal responsibilities, that. And some are, as they were saying, floating and changing as you find out more information and change. But I'll be glad to share whatever ones that are here, review the ones that are in print, and do that. And finding out that some of that isn't getting to where it is, that's important for me to know. I'm glad to know that, because there are some that should be in everybody's hands. Obviously, apparently aren't. We can do something about that.
Do we have a form on Holden policy?
Form on Holden policy?
Yeah.
You know, maybe another thing would be some of these could be compiled and put into like a little Holden manual or something that could be in the library. And when a new person comes, you know, they could go look. Because, I mean, something as simple as knowing that cold cereal available in the evening. You know, I mean, that would have just been a real comfort for me to know that a lot sooner than I did. You know, I mean, just little things like that. That would be nice to just be able to sit down and just browse through the manual and pick out what's important for me. And instead of, you know, I mean, I never would have known to go and ask them if the cold cereal is available. Or, you know, there's things that happen that you don't know about. So, like the boat, you know, you would never think to ask if there's a boat that goes out until somebody mentioned that there is.
Right. And I don't mean to put Elmer on the spot, but are there policies that you're even finding emerging that you didn't even know about? I mean, those, or do you feel like you know them all?
Well, yeah, I've got some things I find a lot, since I've been here, absolutely.
Yeah.
Part of
the
right.
Okay, I mean, Larry's had his hand up. I'd love to get to
him. Well, first just a thought and then a suggestion. And the thought is that a lot of us don't recognize that conflict is essential. The conflict is basically good if handled properly, that it's a real impetus towards growth and change, and that if things get too placid, we stop challenging ourselves and we stop growing individually and we stop growing as a community. All too often I hear in community kinds of discussions that because I'm a Christian, I don't feel I should be angry. And I really challenge that, partially because we are all human and all humans feel all emotions, but also because certainly Christ had a bit of a temper. And the suggestion is, well, back it up a bit. The week that the pastors were here, bless their souls, there was a whole lot of emotions, and some of that was beginning to be passed a little bit at a Vespers that I believe Susan led. And I recognized that that was not the proper forum to really air everything out. But I think we need sort of some sort of organized group gripe sessions or group question and answer sessions, group sessions that aren't business related as we do on the community meeting tonight, but times where we can all just sort of sit through and stick things out. You know, we've heard a couple of big points tonight. Another one I'd add to it is probably the biggest subject of conversation I've heard since I've been here is, why doesn't this fireplace work? Why don't we get it working? If we can't get it working, why don't we take it out? And you hear 120 different reasons and rumors and things spread, and all it would take, you know, is just one time to sit down and do it. And that goes straight across the board. So I think that maybe an organized session of doing that might be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Karen, who did have your hand up to you?
Really? Fit along with the policy kind of thing, where when people were talking about policy, the word that went through my mind was tradition, that we sometimes think those two may be intertwined with something, that the way something has been done, which is just developed into a tradition, gets labeled as policy, where it may not have been intended in that way. And for someone who's been here for a while, I feel a lot of tension sometimes within myself as to whether even to enter into discussion for fear of having too much, well, the way we did it, or this is the way that worked or something last year, might become too much of a, with too much weight on it or something, and realizing that every group is another community and needs to kind of hammer out something. The tension comes from when you've heard the similar kinds of discussions several times and you'd like to short circuit some of it, but it's not helpful to the people who, you know, people need to go through the whole route, even though for some people it's
Then you try knitting therapy.
And that's where I lost my therapy.
I found it last night.
Well, I think that's a helpful comment, because it what you're saying is that for those of you also who are experienced livers here at Holden, there may be a part of you that you hold back in contributing in order to let the community as it is, this new one, form what it needs to. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's helpful to hear you say out loud.
And it can be construed as apathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's
right.
another problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jeff?
I'd like to emphasize the word Linda said, and that's respect. Respect for other people. And the thing is, if you're going to have conflict or anger or differences of opinion, it's going to be many times on a one-to-one basis. And especially number two, though, when you're talking about politics and faith, I think you have to realize that each person unique has, you know, for myself, 22 years of a different background than anybody else here. And we have our own opinions and values, which are unique and special, and like someone said, deserve to be heard. And we have to be flexible and have respect for other people's opinions, the freedom to have a choice and to make a decision and have an opinion. And I guess if it doesn't fit somebody's political or faith view, does not mesh with mine, we have to realize that they have their own soul, their own spirit, whatever, that they have to come to peace with, and we have to be flexible and patient and respect that person's right to have their opinion. I think just for me, dealing on a one-to-one basis, you just have to really key into that person, realize that they're not going to think things the same way. And that can go into the whole work setting. I think when Warren was talking about doing things in a certain way, well, you can accomplish a task 101 different ways, and you may have a way that's worked before, but so does somebody else, and so does somebody else. And if you can compromise and be flexible in getting the job done,
Anne, did you?
I've often thought about the people who are here as family, and I guess what I'd like to do is, if the families have anything to say that would be helpful to them, I think especially of Linda and Matt and the kids, because you're trying to bring children up from some sort, and it's wild and crazy here. Compared to having your own kids in your own house and that kind of thing. So if you could say something about how we could relate to your family that's helpful, I would like to hear that.
Do you want to hear from other families?
Sure, other families.
Okay. Do you want to talk?
Well, the one thing with having small children here is that it's almost as if our children have many parents, and it's important to us that you kind of treat them as your own in most respects. That any major disciplining is certainly going to be done by Linda and myself, but to treat them as people. And
if they're in danger, we talked about this last winter at a community meeting. There were four preschoolers then instead of one, and so there was a lot more of the crying and the this year we haven't felt the need to say anything yet, but we do allow them a lot of freedom here. And for goodness sakes, if they're bothering you, or if they're in danger, if it looks like they're doing something or are about to do something that they shouldn't be doing, we would appreciate it if you would treat them as you would your children or your nieces or nephews or whatever.
And if they're bothering you,
For goodness sakes, confront us with it. Come and tell us instead of putting up with it. Just like somebody mentioned, if it irritates you a little bit that one of them is bugging you, we'd much rather have you say, and you just be very firm with them and say, not now, I'm reading. Otherwise they get to where they will treat you all like grandparents and expect you to pick them up and play with them. And if you feel like it's fine with us. But if you don't feel like it, don't put up with it and then resent them because of it.
And to remember, I guess another thing I told last year that I would repeat, I hope to get them involved, not only our children, also Tasha and the older ones, in some Vespers or some entertainment or whatever. And to remember that, sure, there's parts of it that's going to be cute and we're going to enjoy it and we're going to smile and everything, but that they've worked hard too. And that at their own level, they're doing their best and they're trying to worship and, you know, that we respect their feelings too. I haven't seen it as a problem, but I really appreciate it being brought up.
Actually, I've been fascinated by how well the community works, given that lives that have aged life experience. Last year, I was with 70 people on my undergraduate list. There was nothing like it. And you couldn't get cereal at night, right?
Are there any other families, parents that want to say anything?
I would just really agree with what both Nick and Linda said. I appreciate the fact that you do treat our children like family. I really feel that very strong, a lot of you really care about them. And because we can't sit with our family all the time, this will sound like I'm being funny, and I'm not. I don't know whether they chew with their mouth open, you know? And so I would like you to say, bad manners, you know, they do that. Or, you're taking too much food and you're not finishing it. I'm not at the table with them, I don't know those kinds of things. And that's for their good. You know, I would not take that as you're slamming my parenting. I don't have a chance, you know, I'm going to see them. I really appreciate the way you have accepted them, and I would appreciate it more if you were to treat them like
that. Good. I have one comment about that. If you come down too hard on them, they'll avoid you at the table next time they'll go find somebody for you.
That's why they'll come after me.
It's all right, they can discipline my...
I just want to point out, did you understand the community meeting was for grapes? Grapes or the planning committee is for planning a week, but didn't the community meeting, you could bring up a grape? And, so, I mean, was it necessary to have a grape session when you could have it any time you were working on?
If time allows.
Yeah, sometimes the time can be a little restricted. It can be for an hour or 70 people to discuss everything that might come up.
You're going to miss a meal.
It's been an hour, and that's essentially what we had planned for the panel. I'd like to, if there's anyone who has something that they need to say to before we conclude, would you like to say it now?
I think you did an excellent job.
I would just like to say that as I heard us talk as a group, a couple of things seem to be suggestions. And I just would like to throw these out as, did you hear this too? And would you like something to happen around this? And one thing I heard us say was, could we have some kind of discussion about Holden policy, what it is, with an understanding that some of that may be tradition and not policy, and some of that might look like or become more calcified and cast. A fight or something. So what I heard was, could we have a forum on what policies are and where they came from and so on? Did you hear that too, and would that be something you think would be useful?
Yes.
Not. Okay. Our committee for Happy Holden is going to get together again. And
the other thing I heard primarily, these
people say, the experience people say, more than I heard us say in the audience, is something about feeling. The feelings come up, that there are just feelings that we have, anger or frustration or whatever. And I guess coming out of my background, it seems to me that it may be useful for us sometime to have some kind of session on how to handle feelings, what they are and are they okay, and what do we do with different ones when we have them. Would anybody be interested in that kind of thing? Few none. Okay. Did anybody else hear any other general thing that might be useful for us to follow up on? To understand we're different and be respectful. Well, Elmer?
Maybe the indirect suggestion, I think they both were that. One was a hopes and dreams kind of a day, which might sandwich a lot of cracks in the middle of it. Turn it back around, it becomes a hope. And the other was a sharing story. I think there ought to be time. We tried it only once this summer, and I think it worked well then, but we moved away from it. That in our tradition, the Lutheran Church, where we do things rather, or dances, prance around an altar or something, we don't get to the point of having that chance as often. And I'd like to see us try to do that, because I think it gets to the point of then saying, what are the things that bother that person, or why did some things get through? A sort of indirect way of, I think, working a happy whole in a room.
Okay.
I like them.
Right. I remember, too, the suggestion about the corporate confession and utilizing that in the morning ritual. Others? Yes?
They were talking, and they have their feelings in that. For many of us, all of this is still just new to us. And every day is a learning experience, and I find out, a little bit more, and it's still a challenge. And even like the takeout meals, I enjoy eating down here. I enjoy not having fixed meals, not to have to. I can't say not have to do dishes, because that's all it is. It's all just a new challenge in that. So we don't. Maybe we haven't had time for feelings. I don't know. Everything is just all happening day at a time.
Right.
I'm sure by the end of the winter we will probably have.
You'll know what they're talking about.
I think one thing, I talked to Emily White before she left about this session. She was interested in sharing something with us on the topic. And one thing that she said, among others, was that for her, during the time that she was here, it was really important to try to consciously connect herself with the outside world, but that seems to dissipate or at least add perspective to our world here in terms of some difficulties. And I say that because that's a personal need of my own too. And I'm not suggesting that necessarily institutionalize it, but just need to think about it a little bit.
About how to connect with the outside world?
Yeah. And how that shapes what we see our own world day to day here.
Anyone else?
Yes, one real quickly. We sort of lived in a community at home, ranging in age from 84 to 4. Great grandma, grandma, mom, and grandchildren, children, whatever. And that was the community that was not the community.
Mm-hmm.
Was sort of polarized. Only it seemed like sort of Marshall and I were sort of the community too, grandchildren, children, and my parents. So it's really great to sit here and say that, hey, we can have rights and we can not get along and we can talk about it. And it's just kind of a freedom. It's okay. I don't have to like you every day. You don't have to like me every day.
but we'll still love each other in Jesus Christ, and we'll still be a community. It's really freeing, because that was very repressive, trying to be a community but not having other people want to be a community too. And it seems like here everybody really wants to be a community, and yet we still want to be our own individual selves. Mm-hmm. That is a great discussion. Thanks.
Good. I guess it comes out of my position here, but I just wanted to point out that in the bookstore and the library, there are lots of books on how to care for one another, how to forgive one another, how to listen to each other, how to gain those kinds of skills, as well as we have several books on living in community, written by today people and others. And I'll try to point those out in some way, because some of us may want to go in a little more in depth on some of this, and that would be all right. Well, thanks everybody.
Thanks.